catch and shoot three on the way. Yes, sir! Welcome to the NBA, Brandon Miller.
Cross into the area, headed onward, save Kalina!
Hello ball, pick and roll with Mark Williams, goes up with the right hand, bank shot, good cat in and a foul.
It's Frankie Louvu, the leading tackler and a fan favorite here in Charlotte, who made the play. Young throws for the end zone.
Charlotte Sports Today with your host, Jeff Ritter.
Continue for Grace Grill from Queen City News and Charlotte Sports Live. Reverend Herbaceous would like you to become the first NFL female head coach for the Panthers. How about that?
I'm flattered, but nobody wants that. I am nowhere near qualified.
There's a lot of jokes in there somewhere about the last several head coaches. I'll just leave that
alone. Elite. I don't know. Maybe there is hope for all of us.
Special edition of Charlotte Sports Today. We'll be here till 10 o'clock. And then on Tuesday, you guys can have Mac and Bone back. But in the meantime, see, I did the smart thing, Flounder. I knew nobody wanted to hear me in the morning.
That's
so
true.
What I did,
yes.
Knowing that I needed to kind of rearrange the schedule to make it all work, I thought I'd go get somebody very popular people would want to hear. And I think I've succeeded by getting Grace in here.
What I think you nailed it. I think you did.
So there you go.
So Grace, thanks for bailing me out and helping me out here.
And you guys are just pumping me up. This is good for the ego.
This is. This is good. Use that in your next contract negotiation at work, too.
Yeah.
That's how that goes.
I hate those.
That's why you let other people do it. So in the meantime, we were talking about this football game coming up this weekend. And I know we'd all love for the Panthers to get out of giving the first overall pick to the Bears. And I don't know, it might be too late for that. But it wouldn't hurt if they went on the road and won their first road game against a Jacksonville team that, even if they have Trevor Lawrence, he's clearly not going to be all that healthy with that shoulder. That would be a good way to build on that great performance that the offense had, but the defense let him down against Green Bay. And coming off the game-winning drive at home against the Falcons 2 weeks ago. I mean, there's stuff to build on here, Grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Panthers have a decent shot on Sunday down in Jacksonville. I think it would be great to have a road win on your belt for this season after the way everything's gone. But also it is an opportunity against a struggling Jacksonville team. Because, I really did think that Jacksonville was going to bounce back last week because they were on, what is it, four straight now that they've lost? Is that correct?
Yeah, they have not yes. won in the month of December.
Oh, jeez.
I know. It was like a string of like three or four games, I thought. So I thought they were going to bounce back last week, and then that game did not go how I thought it was going to go. But, I think the Panthers have a shot, and they seem in high spirits still in practice too, and the good vibes are flowing, and I think if they can carry that into game day, why... Yeah, I absolutely think they have a shot. And I think the defense, that was a one-off. Like, it stinks because the offense finally got it going and they couldn't put it together. But if people are going to harp on that Panthers defense, I'm like, come on. They have kept them in games all season. I don't think that's a valid argument with that unit.
Four straight, by the way. Four
and
straight.
And the one thing that's like been that. Disappointing to me about that defense is a good running game will just destroy that defense. Like, they've not been able to shut down good running attacks.
Well, and I think the Packers had a good plan against them. That's what they were focused on was, okay, because I've asked this question all season. It's how do other teams prepare for the Panthers? What are they scared of with the Panthers? Nothing.
For the first 15 weeks, they didn't even bother trying to defend more than 9 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Exactly my point. So when the Packers are coming into this game, it's like, okay, what's the thing that we do have to worry about? The defense. And I think that's what they really attacked in their game plan of how can we take full advantage of the side of the ball that gives them any chance. And they did that. And it was just a down day for the defense, which happens in a season. So I think they're going to bounce back. That's a unit that they've proven that they can do big things, so I don't think I'm worried about that. The only thing that I am watching is, can this offense keep this going and prove that the Packers game wasn't just a one-off and that they figured it out and can put a bow on the season of what's left of it?
Well, one of the guys that's been, you know, who's kept pounding the entire time is Bryce Young, and it's starting to pay off. You had the game-winning drive against Atlanta. You had a 300-yard game and putting up 30 points and almost another game-tying field goal at the very end. They just ran out of time there, couldn't get the last snap off in time. So that's all coming. Here's what Thomas Davis, the offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, had to say about Bryce and what the source of most of his problems have been all year long. And we all know this. We've all seen it. We've talked about it here ad nauseum. Interesting to hear the coaches acknowledge the problems. Flounder?
Oh, my bad. Sorry, Jeff. Give me one.
Thomas Brown, right?
Thomas Brown. What did I say? Thomas.
Thomas Davis.
Sorry,
and I was just like, wait, I haven't heard the sound. What did he say about
everybody.
It?
See, I should still be on vacation. That's the problem.
All right, I got you, Jeff.
You got it now? I thought we had talked about having that, but here we go.
I mean, I won't say it's just one thing in general. I think just overall, the consistency at how we've built the offense, having, you know, change from time to time, but not always great when it comes to time on task as far as consistency goes. But I think us being able to, again, he's a rookie quarterback who's super talented, but still being able to understand how to play in this league, operate and deal with the guys around him has kind of been, you know, more of an answer to just one thing being the reason that things haven't clicked as much.
Just pretty much acknowledging he hadn't had any time. you don't hear coaches say that often.
Yeah, those are interesting comments because I think that, honestly, that's kind of the first time where I've heard a coach acknowledge that it is a little bit on Bryce a little bit and his ability or lack of ability to be able to gel quickly and adapt to the pace of the game.
Well, whatever's going on, it looks like he is having fun. Brian Burns pointed that out. Now, can they keep it going? Because they've not played. I mean, I know they haven't played well anywhere all year long for the most part, maybe the last couple of weeks, but they have not played well on the road at all this year. And that's also, that could be a problem. That could be the next hurdle for them to get over, is to play well on the road, win or lose. They got to play and keep themselves in a football game.
Well, the good thing is that it's not like a crazy trip. I think sometimes when it's a longer trip too, that maybe plays a part. You're not, you know, when you have the Seattle game, like that's a long trip. And so maybe the proximity, it's not as brutal as a trip, but you got to do it. You got to learn to win on the road.
Yeah. The interesting thing to me will be how vulnerable will that Jacksonville team be offensively if Trevor Lawrence can't play? And I know Doug Peterson was talking about him yesterday and basically said it's a pain tolerance thing for him. Like he's just got a banged up throwing shoulder, and it's hard to hand off. It's hard to throw 30 times in an NFL, you know, with the intensity that you need to throw with in an NFL game. And I don't think they're not worried about him damaging the shoulder more. It's about pain tolerance. And so I don't know what they will do. Apparently, he's never, what has he got, like 50, Flounder, maybe you can look this up. I want to say like 58 straight starts in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence. So you know he
has not
there.
Missed a start since he was drafted. And the last 3 weeks, he's now been on the injury report with three different injuries. He had the ankle in week 14, concussion week 15, and now this week it's the shoulder joint. So, yeah, he's beat up. But, yeah, look, either way, you're going to either play him completely banged up to the point where, I don't really know how effective he's going to be. I mean, you saw it last week against Tampa. And then, or you could possibly face C.J. Beathard, who, I mean, is a solid backup. But, I mean, it feels like there's plenty of opportunity for this defense to recover from what we saw against the Packers on Sunday.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard, 2-10 as a starter in seven NFL seasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're banged up, it's not – I think it just takes the focus away a little bit of what you're trying to accomplish because you're so worried about – further injuring, or you're mentally focused on the way you move because you're so conscious of that and managing the pain tolerance, that especially at the quarterback position where you're not as locked in as managing a game. Now, maybe that's just me spitballing, but maybe he's elite and that doesn't bother him. But it's definitely a point of attack for a defense of like, all right, we got him on his heels. Let's just hound him.
Well, I mean, their offense the last couple of weeks has not been great. I mean, they scored 7 points against the Ravens. Now, granted, the Ravens' defense is tremendous. We saw that against the Niners. And then they only scored 12 against Tampa. Their bigger concern is their defense. Their defense has allowed 29 points per game in their four-game losing streak. So their defense is playing much like the Packers' defense that we just saw on Sunday. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm feeling the way the offense has looked the last couple of weeks. I mean, there's definitely a golden opportunity here for Bryce and this offense to build on what they've been doing.
Are you calling a Panthers win? Are you calling it right now?
I don't know if I can go that bold.
I will. I think they win on Sunday.
The thing that is concerning me a little bit is the fact that it's on the road, right? Because they haven't done it on the road. But nah, I think I'll go with the Panthers. I think they find a way to win this game just because I think more than likely you'll see C.J. Beathard at some point, whether he starts the game or has to come in. And I think this this Panthers defense will be able to get after him, and they'll be able to put up just enough points.
So you're both calling for Panthers win?
I think the Panthers win. I think it'll be close, but I think it'll be give me 24-21 Panthers.
Oh, Grace.
Yeah, that'd be a walk-off.
There we go.
I said walk-off Eddie Pinheiro field goal.
Eddie needs to kind of he needs to kind of get it back a little bit. Eddie did not help out
Eddie,
last week.
Eddie, are you kidding me?
Well, the thing is, remember last year he had a similar game against Atlanta and he recovered. Like, it wasn't something that spiraled out of control for him. So I think he'll be fine. I think he'll bounce back. He'll be good.
Oh, 100%. It's just I love how, like, the fan base loses their mind. Like, a guy can miss one kick and people be like, he's terrible. This is why we need to do this. And I'm like, you do realize that he single-handedly won that game in Atlanta. Like, we have no – or against Atlanta. We have no points if it's not for him. It's just so comical to me. I'm like
– both of the
guy missed one kick. It sucked, and it was at a very inopportune time because that could have been the difference in the game, but
– both of the wins, he actually scored all their points. So, remember, against Houston, he kicked five field goals.
I'm
so
like, everybody needs to get off, Eddie.
Chill out, folks.
Chill all right. The heck out.
So we're chilling on Eddie. Both of you are predicting a Panthers win.
What this do you be a what great do you got, weekend. Jeff?
I think there's a reason they struggle on the road, and I think they struggle to score points again. I would like to see them build on what they've done the last 2 weeks. I worry about the fact that they're playing now a very desperate Jacksonville team that had a big margin of error. They had started out so well, and the rest of the division was kind of just plodding along over there in the AFC South. Despite the fact that they've lost four games in a row, you guys realize that if they win that game, they clinch the South.
Yeah, it definitely is a game that means they have more on the line.
If Trevor Lawrence plays, I think the Panthers come up short. If they play C.J. Beathard, I think the Panthers win.
Oh, bummer.
What the heck, Jeff?
I know, man.
I'm just
the Mr. Buzzkill over here.
That's right, as always. Come on, Jeff.
I think you need a Pop-Tart. It's like the new Snickers.
We all need a Pop-Tart. We'll talk about North Carolina State and what was going on with them this past season and last night as well. You can't always be all the time about North Carolina. We could talk about their bowl performance the other night, Flounder.
Let's not. We did that yesterday.
Okay. We'll continue with all of it next on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Good morning and welcome into our little extravaganza here, a little special edition of Charlotte Sports Today. Mac and Bone will be back on Tuesday. I know that everybody has enjoyed hanging out with Grace Grill for the last couple of days. Grace, you are very popular here with our WFNZ listeners. So I think, we got to have more of you and Jess and Ashley Strohline and Vashti Hurt, because every time those folks are on, every time you ladies are on, people dig it. They love it. Maybe we need to do that more often.
I agree. We know what's going on.
Yeah, that's good stuff. There's quite a contingent. Look at Carla Gebhardt. You work with her over there.
I mean,
who else am I missing in the contingent here in Charlotte sports media? Just terrific women.
Deshaun Brown. She does a great job over at WSOC.
Yeah. There's a lot of really talented people here. We have to take more advantage of that. So there you go.
We deserve more credit.
You're not going to get an argument from me. You'll get no argument from me.
No, we've got a good group of
I just
women
am glad
in local
that you
media.
Put up with us the last couple of days. We appreciate that. So
I told you yesterday, I was like, man, I'm so flattered that you guys wanted to talk to me for 2 hours of your day.
You'll also notice that the text line is now as graceful as they have been with you. They are brutal, and if you make one tiny mistake, the entire text line lights you up. Like, I made the nice Thomas Davis, Thomas Brown mistake a moment ago because I was talking about keep pounding. I was trying to make it, and my brain went to Thomas Davis.
I honestly panicked. Brown. I thought, did Thomas Davis say something about this team that I missed?
No. I that was me. That was all on me.
People have never made a mistake in their life. It's crazy. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah. You hear that. Do you get emails like after a show over on Charlotte Sports Live if you made one little tiny mistake?
I don't read them because it's just
smart. Good. Yeah. Smart.
Very smart. What do you guys have coming up tonight on Charlotte Sports Live? What's the thing that we'll be talking about mostly?
Oh, man, I haven't checked my email yet today. Normally I am thinking about waking up at right now to get my day started. But yeah, we'll be talking Panthers this week. I'm sure we've got some exclusives to go over. I think Carla Gebhardt put together a little piece of all our top stories from this year that I'm sure we'll get into. Yeah, should be a good show. We'll be talking, I'm sure, Hornets, all the stuff we've covered here.
Yeah, Hornets play again in Phoenix tonight. They've lost 9 games in a row. They never really were in it. And then somebody had pointed out on the text line a little while ago, like, is there a worse team in the league in the third quarter? I might point to Detroit, who's lost 28 games in a row.
But this worse.
It's a really shorthanded team right now, and that's not making excuses, but the schedule's not doing them any favors, and this is really the wrong time of year to be missing guys like Williams and Ball and Hayward, because they're outgunned most nights anyway. You take those three away, you put them on a long West Coast road trip, it's not going to go well, Grace.
Yeah, and I think the goal, Steve Clifford talked about this before they started this West Coast swing, was the goal was just to how healthy could they remain? You're playing on the road. You're playing a brutal schedule. They can't afford to have more injuries. I think the goal is just to keep everybody as healthy as possible to get through this stretch.
Yeah, last time they played okay. I mean, they had those back-to-backs against Miami. I thought they played pretty competitive games against Miami. They lost both those. They lost by a bucket here at home. Then they lost down the stretch the next night in Miami. They played pretty well at home after that against New Orleans. But after that, Grace, I mean, they lost by 53 to Philadelphia, if you remember that one.
Yeah.
They then lost by 15 to Toronto. They lost by 31 to Indiana. They did play really well against the Nuggets at home the other night, only lost by 7 there, had a chance down the stretch. And then they lost, again, with a bad third quarter against the Clippers. Earlier this week, they lost to the Lakers last night, and now they got the Phoenix Suns tonight. So it's been a tough stretch.
Does it drive you nuts that they almost give you a sense of false hope because you see that, like, how they played the Nuggets? Now, I would say Denver would say that wasn't the best game that they played, so you have to take that into consideration. But does it drive you nuts to see those spurts of, like, you guys can be competitive, and you guys can be good. It's just we can't do it consistently.
They got to find a way because they've only won twice in the last 30 days, Grace.
I mean, it's hard, I guess. I mean, I guess it's frustrating, but it's hard to be, like, too angry because every time that you look, somebody else is getting hurt. Like, last night you get Brandon Miller back. That's great. But you still don't have Mark Williams. I got to be honest, I cannot believe how long Mark Williams has been out. That seemed like such
injury,
a minor.
Right?
I think you're right.
Back injuries are tough, though. They can be tricky.
But I mean, you wake up in the morning, you think you're feeling better, then you wake up the next morning and you can't move.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. Injury. With LaMelo out, like, you really, if you had him and Brandon Miller, I think you could feel like you could be competitive in a lot of these games.
Especially on a night like last night when you're trying to play against Anthony Davis, who's having a little bit of a resurgence in his career, and he's been able to stay healthy. Like, without Mark Williams, you're in big trouble against a team like the Lakers and Anthony Davis. And no offense to Nick Richards, but he's not the same.
Did you guys see that? I always say his name wrong. Shams Charania?
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it.
You got it.
I think it was his report or someone else's, but they were talking about there being a possible trade with the Pistons and the Hornets.
Yeah, we talked about it on our show. We talked about it on the Kyle Bailey show the other day. So he said that Miles is one of four guys that the Pistons are supposedly looking at as a potential trade candidate. Now, that the interesting part with Miles is that because of the qualifying offer that was extended to him, he basically has a no-trade clause. So people have said that's where he's from. Maybe he'll be intrigued about going back there. But at the same time, I mean, that team is abysmal.
Yeah, so, and young, just like the Hornets. So I don't know that makes a whole lot of sense. But I'm already on the off season for them. That's terrible. But I think
if they're interested, no chance. Like you have to see it through unless there is another contender that's willing to give you more for them.
Well, and I'm curious to see if with new ownership and whatever happens, if they make just big moves of just like we need to completely rework some things here.
Isn't that kind of the off-season blueprint for the Hornets for like the last 8 years?
Well, this is different though, right? It's new owners. You would imagine, I can't see Mitch Kupchak coming back, even though I'm one of the dudes that thinks that Mitch Kupchak has done a better job than some people want to give him credit for. Because he's a Michael guy, he won't be back. I highly doubt Steve Clifford will be back, especially, I get it, there's a lot of injuries that you're having to deal with. It's not all your fault, but your specialty is the defensive end of the floor, and they have looked abysmal on defense at times this year. And you're going to lose certain guys to free agency. Like Miles is not going to come back. I'd be absolutely floored if he comes back. He wanted to be an unrestricted free agent last year. So why would you not want to make those types of moves to try to get a fresh start now with the new owners, new GM, and probably new coach?
So when you talk about that, okay, you're putting the defensive stuff on Steve Clifford. I like Steve Clifford, but for me, he can't go out there and play. Like, they've had these same players now, and at some point, the players have to go out and execute it. Like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And for me, it's like you're saying he's not coaching them right, and they're just not going out and execute. Like, for you, from a coaching standpoint, is it just he doesn't know how to motivate the guys to go out and play for him? Is that where you're coming from? Or he doesn't have a plan for the defense?
I think he would probably be the fall guy more than anything. He was put in a bad spot anyways. I do think part of it is probably a little bit on motivation. Now look, certain guys like Miles has almost never been interested in defending. That was a problem with him before. That was something that was pointed to very often with him. I think with Steve, the thing that you kind of look at is it's gotten worse under him than it was under Borrego. Like that team struggled defensively under Borrego, but I mean, look at the stretch of games we're talking about last night. 133. They let up 144 to the Pacers. And I get it. The Pacers are a really good offensive team. But, I mean, 135 to the Sixers. Like, it's so consistently, you see teams putting up, 120 or more on this team. I feel like more than any team in the league. Other teams just can't score. But the Hornets, I mean, defensively, it's just there are nights where guys just do not look interested at all in defending.
I think that can be said league-wide, though. Like, that's why I've become somewhat disinterested with the NBA in recent years because, like, to me, it's who played basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I watch college basketball more because it's more true to that game because you do have to play both sides. But how do you, with pro athletes, in high school, in college, there's a motivation. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be benched. Oh, well, you want to play in college? Well, then you have to play or you have to be recruited and you have – How do you motivate the pro athlete who's going to collect a check no matter what?
There are a lot of questions like, when is LaMelo even going to be back? How long is Mark Williams going to be out? And one of the problems is, it's not really a problem, I guess it is from a public information standpoint, teams just don't give timelines anymore, especially in the NBA. Have you noticed that over the last few years, Grace? NBA teams don't give you a timeline of when someone's expected to return. And I don't know if it goes back to, remember when Derrick Rose got hurt, hurt his knee and had surgery with the Chicago Bulls the year after he was an MVP,
that's right.
And they kept giving a timeline to come back, and it kept getting pushed back, and he kept telling them, I'm not ready, and the doctors cleared him, and they said, medically, he's fine, and he said, I'm telling you, my knee is not good, it doesn't feel good, I'm not ready to come back, and it got to be a whole thing where it caused a divorce between the Bulls and Derrick Rose, and I kind of feel like ever since then, it was a watershed moment for the whole league. Teams just don't talk about return timelines anymore. You're out until you're out, and it leaves fans wondering, like, is LaMelo Ball going to be out for another 2 weeks? Is he going to be out for the next 2 months? Is Mark Williams coming back anytime before the end of January? We just don't know anymore. We just don't know.
Well, the Hornets one, the other thing with the Hornets, the reason they may not give extended timelines on it is the Hornets had a situation, I believe it was Borrego's final year, where Gordon Hayward gets injured. I think it was a shoulder injury, if I remember correctly. And they basically give a timeline. They say, hey, he's going to be back towards the end of the regular season or at the end of the regular season. Well, he didn't play the rest of the year. And so people are wondering, people start asking questions. Does Gordon just not want to play? When in reality, they reveal after the season, oh no, he had a severe shoulder injury. He actually had to have surgery on it, and we just didn't really we wanted teams to have to prepare as if Gordon Hayward would possibly play. So I think that could be part of why the Hornets kind of keep things under wrap. But I mean, yeah, I think honestly, it's every sport though, right? Like injury reports now,
it's
shocking.
You're the hockey guy. Lower body, upper extremity.
Oh, my gosh. You got a dude in hockey. Guy gets hit in the head. They have to stretcher him off because he's clearly got a concussion, and they say, upper body questionable to return. I'm like, yeah. I don't think he's coming back tonight, fellas. I got to be honest.
Let me ask you this, though. And a lot of people say, hey, because of the gambling is so prominent, whether it's fantasy, whether it's actual, you know, you're betting on the games at FanDuel, that the league should be really forthcoming about these injury stuff. And the leagues believe that. But I've also, like, if you're an individual player, What happened to your medical privacy, man? Do you sign all those rights away just because you're playing a publicly watched game? Do you have to tell people exactly what's going on with you medically?
You want a hot take?
Yes.
This might throw some people off.
Oh, we love it.
I'll put this out there. I am not a sports bettor. I don't bet on sports.
Same here, yeah.
But I hate that sports betting has dictated almost some things that that leagues do. I'm like, that is a separate thing. I think who was it? The Falcons that were fined for Bijan Robinson's week 7 injury report or whatever, where he wasn't listed. And one of the main reasons was because like sports betting people were mad because that was something that they would have taken into consideration to bet. I'm like,
yes,
dude, that is on you. Like, sports betting is totally separate from the NFL, and you guys just bet on these games. It's called betting. Like, you
remember Joe
put
Burrow.
Your odds on something. You take that risk. That's what it is. It's almost like they want insurance for the risk they're about to take. Like, what?
Remember Joe Burrow has the injury to his hand. And they saw it when he came, what was it? I think it was when he either arrived to the airport or something like that, and he had it taped up. They are, I believe they're still actually investigating that because, yeah, it does influence the lines and everything like that when you're betting. So, yeah, I mean, Jeff, I know you're big into that. Does that stuff bother you? Really?
No, I agree with it. Look, I've felt this way all the time because, I didn't play anywhere near the NFL, but I played small college football. And I just know I didn't even tell my trainer sometimes if I was hurt because I just wanted to play so bad. I just didn't want it to be a distraction unless I literally couldn't run or move. If I was banged up and had sore ribs or an ankle that was really sore, I wasn't telling anybody.
Okay,
I didn't think it was anybody else's business. And I agree with Grace. Like, if you're going to bet on these games, if I bet on a game, then that's on me for not figuring that stuff out. And I have no compunction. I feel nothing for somebody who got screwed out of a bet because they weren't given all of the information. I agree with Grace. It's part of the game that you play. If you're going to go into the gambling thing, I don't think that the NFL, I think that they need to be vigilant to make sure there's nothing funny going on, that nobody's trying to move a line or influence a bet or do these kinds of things. I think that's because of those kinds of things. They're trying to be so transparent that nobody could ever accuse them of trying to do that. But here's the other part of it. You could make gambling illegal again and take away all the sports books in the world. It's not going away. People were doing it before the sports books ever existed. They were just doing it in offshore accounts, or they were doing it with, you know, Anthony's uncle down the street or whatever it happened to be. It's been going on forever. They're just trying to put it out in the sunlight where everybody can see everything that's going on.
Well, and that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not saying it needs to go away. But when you bet on a game, I just don't like that they think that the NFL should have, or whatever sports league it is, should have a responsibility to do certain things to give you a better opportunity to make a better bet. It's like, no, you're gambling. That is something so separate. This is our product, and you just happen to have this little entity on the side that bets on our product. But we are not, I don't know. To me, it's just, that's the whole point of gambling. Like, you are gambling. I don't know how to define.
I mean, they're not going to give
you. What's the definition of gambling?
They're not going to give you your money back. Do you think that people who bet on the Jets in the first game of the season, Aaron Rodgers pops his Achilles four plays in, you think they're saying, well, you know what? We'll give you your money back.
Yeah.
No, you take that risk.
Exactly. So, it's all about risk.
All right. Quick timeout. We're going to finish up the week strong. Grace, I know you have some closing thoughts. Anything you didn't get to, you want to talk about or get off your chest, whatever it happens to be, we're here for you, Grace. We've got a few minutes to go here on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Head down the stretch. She's making that final turn in the 400, blowing everybody away. It's Grace Grill, Charlotte legend. I'll just say
it
now.
Oh gosh.
Man.
A burgeoning Charlotte sports legend right here. There we go, Grace Grill.
There it is.
Every time we mention the word Grace, Grace Grill, that's what we'll have.
You own
the text line.
I mean, I don't make the rules.
I don't make the rules.
Where did you even get that?
That's from one of the interviews that you did with us. I came prepared, all right? I didn't know what the intro was going to be like to the show this week, so I came prepared, and I made sure that we had something that had your name in it so that we would know who you are.
She is Grace Grill.
Exactly.
That is so funny. You are on it. I know. I mean, because I know the work it takes to produce these types of shows. I'm just like, wow, if you just pull that out of a hat, that was.
Hey, for all the grief we give Fitty and Flounder and Smoke, they do a fantastic job. They really help make these shows go.
It's the Schropp kid that we're just like, what is this guy doing?
Schropp?
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
He came in with a Wayne Gretzky jersey on that he was very excited to show off.
Wayne Gretzky Kings jersey, yeah. Jeff. He's pumped about this one today.
A bad QB and TV evaluator wants to nickname you Gangsta Grills with a Z.
You know, not really feeling that one.
All right.
I don't know that suits my personality.
Oh, man. What have we not gotten to over the last couple of days that you really wanted to talk about? Anything?
I think I speak for Grace when I say NC State's bowl
Grace.
Loss.
I wasn't asking about you. I was asking Grace.
I mean, I know we're not in a baseball market, but we didn't talk a lot of baseball.
Oh.
What is there to say other than
that?
Shohei
I think
Ohtani's
my Yankees are actually going to be able to hit a ball this season, and that is so exciting.
Oh, plus, did you see the report yesterday that they could possibly be looking at Corbin Burnes from Milwaukee? So you could have Gerrit Cole and Corbin Burnes. I mean, what a 1-2 punch that would be at the top of the rotation. Now, the problem is, does it really matter with what the Dodgers have done this offseason? You spend over $1 billion.
See, I think they set themselves up for some, I mean,
epic failure.
Baseball
it's very
has
possible.
Proven that look at the Yankees. That no matter how much money you spend, it doesn't matter. The Arizona Diamondbacks. Are you kidding me? Look at the O's this year. They had at one point they had their entire 40 man, I think, was less than Gerrit Cole's contract.
It's insane. These teams that you've seen, these smaller market teams
chaos.
That have done a great job of making the right strategic moves. It's teams. I mean, we said it with the Braves. It's teams that have built
right
through their system. Where I mean, you see it with the Yankees. I've seen it recently with the Mets. It's going to be interesting to see what the Dodgers look like, because they've always been one of those teams, right, that's kind of teetered back and forth. Like, especially their pitching, they've always kind of leaned with the guys that are in-house, try to build them up, but they try to get aggressive when it comes to the position players. So we'll see.
What I love about baseball and what drives me nuts about it is that you could build the perfect team and it doesn't matter. Look at the Braves. I watched them all season. It drove my grandparents nuts because they're big Phillies fans. Phillies are my NL team, like, because they're from, you know.
Oh, boy, that's going to be
a Bryce
well.
Guy? You big
What's
Bryce
that?
Guy?
So I you think
you're
Bryce
big
Harper.
Bryce guy, whether it's Bryce Harper or Bryce Young, you're a big Bryce person.
Yeah.
There you go.
like Bryce Young. Everyone likes to say I'm a Bryce Young hater. I like Bryce Young.
Who said anything about that?
Because you guys keep setting me up for it. I say one thing on this show, and I'm a Bryce hater. I like Bryce Young a lot. It just, as I said, that pick, what they gave up, no matter who it was just too much. But anyway, back to baseball. I honestly thought the Braves were going to win it. Like that team was just so stacked up and down all season long. They were hitting everybody. I think there were six guys that they ended up with that had 20 or more home runs. Six guys in that lineup that hit 20 plus homers. That's insane. And then you see what happens in Philly. It's just, you just never know with baseball. And that's why I love it, because it's chaos. Right. I'm just happy the Astros.
I'm just glad that I was able to get the Yankee talk out of the way for both of you.
I'm not a Yankee fan.
He's a Mets fan. I have to sit here and look at him with a Mets hat.
Don't you dare downplay my misery, Jeff, okay?
I personally have become a huge Shohei Ohtani fan, and I hope he just kills it with the Dodgers and his new team. The Angels just don't know how to do baseball, and they were wasting him, and I think he and his team realized that.
And Mantrout.
And he didn't have to move. He stays in Los Angeles with his family. I like everything about the way he plays. He plays with passion. He does things we've never seen a person do before. And I know it's going to take time for his arm to come back. He's probably not going to pitch this coming year. But I hope he has nothing but success out in Los Angeles. And that comes from a Reds fan.
Oh, I like the Reds.
Comes from a Reds.
I feel like Cincinnati is a low-key, great baseball town.
It is. It's just they can't win.
Well, they... Maybe they'll be able to win moving forward.
It's been a minute.
I mean, Ellie De La Cruz gives him a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
He's a stud.
No, I've told this story before. Colin and I have bonded over being Reds fans. My first baseball game ever when I was a kid was at the old Riverfront Stadium. And you talk about a lot of fun, my introduction to Major League Baseball. I'd watch it on TV all the time, but I was visiting some relatives for the summer and had a really good time out there. And they took me to a Reds baseball game. And it was Johnny Bench. Hit a two-run homer in the bottom of the 12th, and that was my introduction to Major League Baseball.
Who was their shortstop in the 70s?
Dave Concepcion?
Yeah, my dad was a shortstop, and he always talked about, I mean, he was a Yankees fan, but he always loved that Reds team because he liked Concepcion.
Yeah, you talk about that infield, man. You were talking about Joe Morgan. Pete Rose was over there at third base. Johnny Bench was catching. George Foster and Ken Griffey Sr., in the outfield.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Stack team.
It was a fun
team. I didn't know you were a Reds fan.
Big Red Machine. I am.
I thought you were a Rockies fan.
Yeah, I was going Denver.
We don't really have a Major League Baseball team in Colorado, though.
I mean, when was the last time they made the World Series? It was relatively recently.
They got swept. Their only World Series appearance. Yeah. They got swept. They've never won a World Series game. They were swept by the Red Sox, and they've not been the same since and just haven't been competitive since. And every time they've become that franchise that every time they have a superstar, whether it was Troy Tulowitzki, whether it was Gonzalez, whether it was Todd Helton they kept. But anybody after him, as soon as it was time for a new contract, boom, off he goes to another team.
Denver would be a great baseball town. The stadium looks beautiful. I have some friends out in Denver.
It's a fun place to go.
Love it.
But it's just horrific. Maybe the worst ownership in all of professional sports.
Oh, man.
The Colorado Rockies. Really bad.
Really? Over?
Really bad.
Oh, in all of sports or baseball?
In all of sports. Certainly baseball, but all of sports.
Really? Against like the O's and the Pirates?
Yeah, go look at the Rockies the last 10
years. The A's is probably the bottom of the barrel there.
I don't know. The Montforts are pretty poor. But anyway, so now we've all gotten those things off of our chest. So that's good. And we were talking, how about that? Baseball on the last regular WFNZ
off.
In Charlotte.
I see what you did there. Very nice.
Flatter, you did. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was asking the question about Grace. But were you mad? I mean, you brought up North Carolina State. Usually you don't have nice things to say about North Carolina State.
Oh, I mean, no, this should be brought up. Jeff, didn't they have a fantastic win in the Pop-Tart Bowl to get their second all-time double-digit win season? Oh, no. Oh, I forgot about that. No, that's right. You got beat by a team that had, what is it? Probably like 20 players out due to the transfer portal, the draft. Oh, okay. Yeah, just wanted to make sure that people knew that.
That's sucks. Rich. You commenting on people being out for North Carolina is rich.
No, but what I'm saying is they had almost a fully stocked roster. Only guy that was out for them that played a significant role was Peyton Wilson. And they felt like they were, oh, this is a guaranteed win. They don't have Will Howard.
Penn State's not a bad program, though.
But they didn't have their starting quarterback. They lost both of their starting cornerbacks, I know. They've lost a lot of talent. I will say this, though, in all seriousness, like Chris Klieman, what a heck of a coach that dude is for Kansas State. My God, the way that they have picked up kind of where Bill Snyder left off, like you look at them moving forward in that Big 12, they got a chance to be pretty freaking good. But yeah, for State fans, I mean, look, congratulations, you beat Carolina. But again, what do you have to show for it? You still cannot win double-digit games. It is unreal.
I feel compelled now to bring up the fact that your program has wasted the efforts of Mitch Trubisky, Sam Howell, and Drake May.
And that's right.
Haven't even gotten to a New Year's bowl game.
That would be 100% wrong. They did get to a New Year's bowl
game. How'd that go?
I mean, they lost to a fully stocked Texas A&M team when they had a couple of guys sitting out. But, I mean, at least we got there. I mean, I hate to break it to you. At least we were in the game.
Let's be ranked in the top 10 every year until the beginning of December and just lose everything from there on out. I'm just saying. If you're going to bring up that stuff, I'm going to let you know how things are going for your program.
I mean, trust me, you ain't got to let me know, dude.
We had to end it with this. This is how we end the show.
But Flounder immediately goes to the negative with things. That's his default.
He's from New York.
That's true.
See, my God.
And his middle name is Rosario.
Grace just gets me. You're from New York. You always go negative. It's true. This is my thing. You think I'm bad? You should really meet my father. My dad. I mean, right now, the Rangers playing great hockey. This dude, if they lose a game, they need to make changes. They need someone fired. You think I'm negative.
Anthony is also not afraid to fire people. Consistently and with regularity.
I feel like you guys do that a lot on this station.
Oh!
Whoa!
Whoa now!
That's like a hot... I feel like that's radio in general. No, I didn't mean that as a shot. Like
I try not to fire people. I don't like firing people. I'm not a big fan of that.
Except us here at the station.
Who's gotten fired since I got here?
Nobody.
Zero. You gotta... Like, honestly, if anybody ever gets fired by me, they pretty much have it coming. Hard to go.
You're on a tight ship around here.
Grace, thank you so much for the last couple of days. The text line and the listeners have fallen in love with you, as I knew that they would. You're smart. You know what you're talking about. You're articulate, and we want to have you back soon.
Well, thank you for having me. I was happy to join you guys, and I guess we'll give the reins back over to Mac and Bone. I'm sure it sounds like they have been missed.
They have been missed, and we didn't even give you the audio of Mac trying to get his mom sauced. You can go find that.
I'll
out
have
on
to
his
go
Twitter
find though. That. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Grace. Appreciate it. And Anthony, I've had a good time going back and forth with you too, believe it or not.
Yes, sir. It's been tremendous.
Man.
You
we'll
too,
talk
man.
To you soon. We got Fitty and Smoke, and you and Fitty coming up next. Who's
yeah,
the
whole crew's back. One last day of the show we're calling The Replacements, and then you will be back in that slot next week, Jeff.
Yep, Tuesday. Everything will be back to normal for 2024. Thanks for a great 2023. Thanks for making the morning show and Kyle Bailey number one in this latest ranking. Nielsen and the station overall is doing really well. We appreciate all of you. Love you all. Have a great, safe weekend and new year. And Grace, I'll run into you in a press box soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye, guys.